Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Come on up, Will.
Will Hogue.
Like everybody in Nashville apparently today is fighting traffic. I think there's so many people trying to get to our birthday bash that they can't, just the Nashville roads can't contain all of this traffic. How'd you do there? Oh, now Kirby's going to run.
Oh, Kirby didn't. Yeah. Now we're
Hey, Kirby, we're having guests today.
Hey, all right. It's good to be here on his last day. That's right.
If I had that kind of control, he would have been gone a long time ago.
So, Will, we like to tell people that you wrote America in the opening riff to the show for us, because you never play it live.
It's an exclusive.
It's not on sale, right?
We just figured we'd go ahead and tell you. That's what we
said. This fall, we finally have everything worked out to do it.
Well, how about that?
Are you joking?
No, I swear. I'll get you one for free.
I think we all have it, but yeah. It's very generous. A 99 cent for free.
That's right.
I'm not too proud.
Happy birthday, you guys.
Thank you. Yeah. The zone is 15 today.
That's right.
We're more like 7. We're the youngsters of the group.
Well, that's all right.
Yeah. How you been?
Really well.
You heading out of town this afternoon?
This afternoon, going to South Carolina to play over there, and then turn right around and come back home.
How often are you playing right now?
We don't have a lot until the fall. We start a headlining tour in Washington, D.C., September 18th, and then we do a couple of weeks there, and then we go out with Social Distortion all of October. And we come back and do some more headlining stuff, and then we wrap up for the year. Go to Europe, and then come back home.
Do you hate the one-off show where you go into South Carolina for one show and come back? Wouldn't you rather prefer to string a few together?
It would be much preferred, yeah. Yes. You should be a booking agent.
When are you in Europe?
We go over right after Thanksgiving. It's just England for 5 or 6 shows.
Wish that timed up better, because we're going to be there for the Titans.
Yeah. When is the game?
October 21st against the Chargers.
Ah, man, that would be great.
That would have been awesome.
So you get to do the direct flight and everything now?
He does. He'll be on the Titans charter. I'm still booking, trying to take my wife and kid. I would guess we're connecting at least one direction, because I'm going to try to be using some points.
Ah, well, there you go.
You must have some hefty points from your world travel.
I've done a bit of traveling, yeah. It earns.
I love that.
Yeah.
Do you get to experience the city when you're somewhere? I mean, if you go to, let's say, Europe for a tour, do you get a time to go and walk around and experience the sights and do things, or is it just a constant grind where you have no time?
Grind makes it sound like it's a whole lot worse than it is, yeah. Which is not fair, because it's still traveling around Europe playing songs for people, so it's not really a grind.
So we were with Smashing Pumpkins recently.
Yeah.
And I was looking at their schedule. They were in Dallas the night before. They flew in that night, got in the middle of the night. They played Nashville that night. They were in Louisville the next night. And I'm thinking, I was talking to a buddy who had like a room reserved for Billy Corgan to go eat dinner at some point somewhere, but that's about it. I'm thinking, if you're doing a tour like that, how much of a city that you're in do you really ever get to experience?
Not very much. I mean, our last run through Europe, we did 17 shows in 18 days. So it was just, you know, dry. And one of those days was flying from Scandinavia to Spain. So, you know, there's not a lot of time. It's a lot of wandering around and telling people you don't speak anything other than English. And
how's your voice do back to back to back? Is that a concern when you're belting it out as a rock
and roller? No, it's been years of just abuse has made it gets okay pretty quick.
I can't make it through a 4-hour show talking sometimes with the voice going out. That's amazing. When you hear someone who can just belt out songs.
And I
like
remember back at the beginning when I was discovering you, Exit In, you opened a show standing on the bar behind everybody singing without a microphone. and we could hear you plenty fine.
Yeah,
you can belt it.
Years of screaming, it just builds the muscle up a little bit. So, yeah, it's not too bad.
Do you enjoy the writing process or the performing more?
Both. It's sort of two different things. I think for years the performing thing was, I mean, that's the natural go-to, because that's kind of why you start doing this, and then writing songs after that, you know, there's a lot more work involved.
Yeah,
in
but we you've been in several times where we discussed that process. Mm-hmm. You thoroughly enjoy that process.
I do. It's taken me time. It took years to really get to where I was even comfortable at it. Because I think it's one of those things that you have to do it long enough to be able to admit when you do it poorly. And when you start, you have nothing. So it's like everything is so important because it's the best thing, literally the best thing you've ever done. And sometimes it's just not very good.
What's the percentage of time where you do it poorly? I mean, that's very self-aware to know that you have something that's not good. What's the batting average for you, and what do you think the batting average is for most good songwriters?
I think it's pretty good, I would think. I mean, writing a bad song, the adage, I think, is it's always better to write a bad song than not write a song at all. The trick is to never let anybody hear the bad song. that's the thing. So, I mean, I there's still probably 35 or 40% of the time you write something that you're like, I don't know if this is it.
Well, I wonder how many bad songs Bruce Springsteen has written.
I bet there are hundreds and hundreds of them.
You know, he said, too, though, when he put out a lot of his back catalog in a multi-CD thing, he said, you know, I have some bad songs in my catalog. These are all songs that I chose not to release for very specific reasons at the time. And looking back at them now, some of those reasons were crap.
Yeah.
You know, well, it's sometimes, a good song, you know, that I just wasn't in the mood for at the time.
Yeah, and so that's a whole different, you know, that even becomes a different conversation. Or sometimes it's, well, I said this similarly in another song. And then, you know, 10 years later, you look back and go, oh, that's not as similar as I thought it
and
was.
And we've got 10 years of elbow room between it now. Do you write lyrics first? Do you write music first? Or do you kind of have running things of both and hope that the two run into each other?
Both. And my favorite ones are where you sort of sit and they just all show up together. But it's a process that is continually changing.
Do you write lyrics at old school in a notebook? Or
I do. I'm a songwriter, not a song typer. Yeah.
So, are there song typers?
There are most people when you do stuff in town are song typers. And I get it because there's a storage thing. But Don Schlitz is one of my favorite songwriters and one of the guys that I've written with quite a few times. And he said one time, he was like, look, you don't want to see a laptop in the Music Hall of Fame for your song, whatever that is. You want to see a notebook.
The songbook. That's so, really good.
Yeah. So I am a songwriter.
I'm curious about the origin story of this song, which a lot of people know from the Eli Young Band. I think they did okay with it, but it's nothing like the original. How did it get from you to them? What was the timing of them recording it, you recording it?
You know, that was one of those, for years I've been making records on my own and really just growing a touring audience, and the record labels would always come and I'd sign a record deal and somebody would go, you know, you're just one song away, like you're one song. And Even If It Breaks Your Heart was one of those that when I had written it and I put it on a record and everybody lost their minds. They're like, this is the one, this is going to be your hit. And we put it out and no one cared. Lightning 100 here in town had played it a bunch. And there were a handful of little, you know, of radio stations that played it, but it was not a hit. But those guys in the Eli Young Band were driving through Nashville and heard it on their tour bus. Said, we want to record it, and it was a hit.
How life-altering is it, whether it's your hit or their hit, in terms of performing it?
It's life-altering in every way. I mean, it's a total game-changer for my wife and kids and I, for me as a writer, for me as a touring artist. You know, it was something that really felt like a victory, I think, for a lot of folks, which was nice.
Where were you when you wrote this song?
Right over here on Music Row. I'd written it with my friend Eric Pasley, who was a brand new writer at a little company over here. He had never had any success as a writer, and I was running really late for the session. I was recovering from an accident and
the wreck.
The wreck. And I was still on a cane at the time, so I was having to walk up these. I was late everywhere I was going, and we only had an hour and a half to write between then and when I had to go to rehab. And we wrote the song in an hour and a half, which is probably certainly the best paycheck per hour that either of us have ever gotten.
Trenton, be ready to take a video of this. Finally, I'm wondering, you were just on your phone there checking chords or tuning?
Yeah, tuning. Uh-huh.
So how's that? Tell us the...
There's a tuning app. You just download it, and it's a guitar tuner app.
Oh, is that it? It's not song specific?
No, it's just a tuner.
Will also owns that.
Yeah. And how are you at lyric recall, generally speaking? This one I'm sure you know, but
we'll find out.
If I pull something random out of your
out of my catalog. There's 50-50 chance. I'll get part of it right. Yeah. I promise you. But I may not get all of it.
Very well. All right, well, what I want you to do here, if you will, if you'll be so kind, is just, I know you were probably very polite. Eli Young and the Eli Young Band did what they wanted to do, and you loved it and everything. But show us what they should have done.
Okay. Well, this is the, mortgage paying version. This is the artistic version. Here you go.
We'll take it.
Back on a radio dial, fire got lit inside a bright-eyed child. Every note just wrapped around his soul, from steel guitar to Memphis, all the way to rock and roll. Whoa, I can hear him playing, I can hear the ringing of a beat-up old guitar. Whoa, I can hear him saying, keep on dreaming even if it breaks your heart. Downtown, where I used to wander, old enough to get there but too young to get inside, I would stand out on the sidewalk, listen to the music playing every Friday night. Whoa, I can hear him playing, I can hear the ringing of a beat-up old guitar. Whoa, I can hear him saying, keep on dreaming even if it breaks your heart. Some dreams stay with you forever, drag you around, lead you back to where you were. Some dreams keep on getting better, gotta keep believing if you wanna know for sure. Whoa, I can hear him playing, I can hear the ringing of a beat up old guitar. Whoa, I can hear him saying, keep on dreaming even if it breaks your heart. Whoa, I can hear him playing, I can hear the ringing of a beat up old guitar. Whoa, I can hear him saying, keep on dreaming even if it breaks your heart. Keep on dreaming even if it breaks your heart. Keep on dreaming even if it breaks your heart.
Will Hope.
Terrific. Thanks so much. That gets us amped up.
All right.
Tremendous. We really appreciate it. What for the stick to sports crowd, we have to immediately flip to them.
Okay.
What are your football expectations for the coming months?
Oh, man. See, this will get into a whole weird thing about football. I hope that the Titans do well. I hope that I was going to say that song, Even If It Breaks Your Heart, was originally titled Ballad of a Lifelong Vanderbilt Football Fan. but the title was too long and radio wouldn't play it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I didn't get to see the game last night, but I love a lot of the guys on the Titans team, so I'm really hoping that they have good things happen.
What do you think of Vanderbilt's trajectory since James Franklin and...
What do I think of?
Yeah.
Is there an opinion?
Will, your thoughts?
What's a polite word for a downward spiral? I mean, you know, I think that they had a nice little run there for a little bit, which, again, as a lifelong Nashvillian, was really fun to watch.
Specifically for Chad... At least the success against UT has to be gratifying.
You know, you that is really wonderful. Yeah.
There's no doubt.
That's
it's also
great.
Embarrassing to Tennessee that they're losing to a program that doesn't even care about football. they're not even spending money on it. Like, we'll still beat you guys.
Yeah, no, women's lacrosse nice actually costs them more money than football does at this point. So,
the bowling team will put money into it, but not the football team.
Yeah, but it's fun to watch.
Did you get a bowling national championship t-shirt?
Did I get one? Yeah. No.
Would you wear one?
Of course.
That was the calling the Vanderbilt bookstore.
That was the only class I passed when I did my term in college. So, yeah, I would love any bowling shirt. I would totally wear.
Where were you? Western?
Western Kentucky.
And you passed bowling?
I did.
How well
with
did
a B.
you bowl? Did you get a B in bowling?
Yeah. And maybe that was just what it started with.
Was it based on your score?
I think it was. And if you could hit a 7-10 split, you got out of the class. And you didn't have to do anything. So,
Paul, what would you have graded?
Bowling?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a song here.
He bowled a 76.
He bowled a 70-something they sang. What did he sing that song
1970-something, based on that song.
It was really bad. I would have failed bowling, but I might have passed some of the other things.
Well, that's good.
What were those?
That I failed?
Yeah.
History, English, math. like whatever the other ones were I took.
So just school wasn't your thing?
Yeah, it was. I really had to, sadly, my intention was to finish here and go get my degree and be a history teacher and high school basketball coach. But no, that didn't work out.
Yeah,
I
would choose rock and roller over that any day.
Yeah. The first semester I did okay. The second one I didn't even unwrap my books. I was in a band and kind of head first into that.
Do you have anything on the docket for Nashville that we can plug?
Yeah, there's a, we're doing part of the, we're doing an Americana showcase for that week, and there's tons of great shows in town for that. And then we're here with Social Distortion at Marathon Music Works in October.
That's a midday 180 night out.
We need
right
to.
Here.
We need to.
Oh yeah, I'll make sure
we get some hats that night,
and maybe we'll play America that night. Is this? But Will, me and the band. No,
if I play it, you're coming up to sing.
On stage,
I love
to sing
it.
America.
I can invite Paul Kaharsky on stage for this little ditty.
Yeah. Meanwhile, everybody goes to the bathroom.